The gentleman that's going to share his thoughts with us this evening, I very much admire the life that he's had. He's so worldly traveled. He's got a wife that adores him. He's got such a good world that he's built for himself with God's help. And I really appreciate the idea that he'll come here and share these thoughts with us, because his life has been very all-encompassing. He's done a lot of earthly travel. He's done some very jobs with huge responsibilities. He's interested to encourage God to use him. He's not such a big deal that he said, no, nobody can teach me anything. I know it all. I've never seen that out of him. I'm just really happy to know that the man that's going to be speaking with us today and sharing his thoughts is just a good, loving man in my eyes. I can't judge him, but I can qualify him for my own self. And that's our Bill Resto.
I thought she was introducing George.
George? Was it supposed to be you instead of him?
No. With that introduction, I think it should be George. So, as I get ready to start tonight, I just want to lay out one thought, an overriding thought, and apply this into your life and think about it. Whatever you are seeking is seeking you. Think about that. So I'm going to talk to you about a lot of things that I'm going to take you on a little journey that I recently did. And I want it to be more like a coffee conversation rather than, you know, somebody giving some kind of sermon or whatever. So about October last year, after my morning prayers and all this other stuff, I got a hint that I should look up some courses out in England. And I had been to a college out there before. It was called Arthur Findlay College. Has anybody heard of that place? Okay. It's a renowned college about an hour and a half outside of London, and it's in a castle, and it's all about mediumship and spiritual development, and they run weekly courses. You go there for a week, and you pretty much start on a Saturday evening, and you go for a full straight week, and your courses run from 9 in the morning usually till about 9:30 at night. So it's 12 hours of intensive, and you're with people from all over the world. They have world-class tutors. The instruction is really superior. It's just really a great experience. And it's really interesting to be in a room with people who speak different languages, come from all over the planet. It's like a summer camp experience for little warlocks and witches. So it's a great place to go. So I got a hint. Maybe I should go. I went like a year and a half ago. And this was last October. So I went and I looked in the computer, and all of a sudden this course just popped out of me in February. And I said, well, I'll look to see if I can get a reservation. And I did. And within 2 hours, I had my class reserved, and I had a free round-trip ticket to London. I had never turned in my mileage before, and it just so happened that on the dates that I was going to fly, I could go. So I was like, wow, that's some synchronicity going down there. So do you mind me sharing my experience a little bit with you? I'd like to bring you on a little trip with me. But just always remember, what you're seeking is seeking you. And so the adventure starts, and I call my friend who I had hosted here. Her name was Katie. I met her a year and a half ago, and we hosted her last year for about 10 days in my house. And she's a really outstanding young spiritual lady. She's about 26 years old. And she says, wow, this is unbelievable. I signed up for that exact same course. So I said, wow, that's really cool. I'll see you in London. So she was my guide. So got on the airplane in LAX, and the plane was only half full. Got a full row to myself. Wow. How often does that happen? Went to London, and as I'm going through customs, there was a guy with a turban, and I was talking to him. I don't know if he was a sheik or sheikh or whatever you call him, or sheik. Or he was a really good-looking guy, though. Let's just put that. So anyway, he says, purpose of your visit, And I says, well, I'm going to visit friends, and I'm going to a spiritual conference. Because you don't want to talk to people, say, well, I'm going to go practice mediumship, and we're going to ride magic carpets and practice with our wands and all those other wacky things that all you people love to do. And so he says, where are you going to be? And I said, Stansted. And he stamps my passport, and he goes, and then he just leans in really close. He goes, feeling things very closely, aren't we? And I said, wow, the trip continues. So when you check in to the college, and it really is a castle. It really is a castle. It's a very, very unique experience. And they give you a welcoming kit, and they take a picture of you, and they give you an ID card, but it's not a real picture. What it is an aura picture of yourself. And then they give you an entrance kit, which is a wand. So you get a practice wand, and later on you might get a real wand. And then you get a crystal ball that you can use at the bowling alley, because they only use crystal balls. And all the instructors are cats. You have to wear the uniform of the day, which is a wizard cap. And you must go to class on your flying carpet. Prior to that, you must sage your room and pick a card every day to figure out if you're totally in line and in tune. And I'm just kidding, because that's all our imagination. But it kind of brings me to a point of which I want to get to, is because since we're kind of like in this spiritual, metaphysical world, sometimes we really get entrapped with all these little toys. And we really like to talk about our toys and our reliance on toys. And, you know, I can't do anything until I align my chakras, and I got to check my kundalini, and I got to sage my house, and I got to throw some runes. And you know what? The reality is what you are seeking is seeking you. Thinking about this all the time. And it's really the desire of your heart and where you want to go with the exploration of your spiritual life that opens the door. So like Millie says, always watch your thoughts, right? Because your thoughts are creating your own universe. The mere fact that we're sitting here right now, that I had those experiences, or whatever we may be doing, is because we've drawn these events, our friends, our circumstances into our lives. And so if you think about it, right now at this very moment, you're creating your tomorrow. And that's an important thing to remember, that what you seek is seeking you. So it's really important for us to align. What are we aligning to? And we have all these wonderful things to play with and all these great things to gravitate to. But what are we really seeking within our heart, right? So, and there's fantastic mediums there, fantastically gifted people. But the course I went to, and you know, they can put you really through the ringer on many of the practices and different things that you would do. I mean, they're really set to make you push beyond your comfort zone. But the course that I went to was called The Natural Medium. And it was very different from this point of view, is that it wasn't about necessarily messages and grabbing messages and that sort of development. The whole course was really designed to get you into your heart space and to really ground you and to become naturally who you are. And so you would say to yourself, how can anybody teach you that, even though we use that language very easily? We use, in the metaphysical world, we like to throw around a lot of terms that we really don't know how to investigate sometimes. Like, I'm going to get into my heart space right now. How do you do that? I don't know, because I'm very, you know, my brain doesn't shut off very well. And so if I say I'm going to go into my heart space, I tend to judge myself and say, well, that didn't work out very well because I couldn't shut off my mind. And most people say, I can't meditate because I can never shut off my mind. I can't pray because I think about my grocery list because I can't shut off my mind. And then when I do try and pray in the evening, I fall asleep. So we use these terms, but the reality is that we are each and every one of us within our heart space, in our soul space, totally and infinitely created in the aspect of the divine. You are not separate in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't get any better than what's in your soul space right here, right now. So I'm going to keep on saying, so what you seek is seeking you. where are you searching and how are you searching in order to enter in to that heart space and that soul space? And it's totally all right. I have stopped judging my mind for its silliness and its wackiness. And I have really set the intention of operating to the extent in that I'm okay. And if my mind wants to chatter with me, I don't have to get into a debate with it to try and shut it off. I can be perfectly fine. Stop it.
Sorry, you don't know how funny this is.
I'm a chatterbox. And so it's really important for me to try and learn surrender. And one of the reasons why it's important for me to learn surrender is because in my career and in my life, I have a very fast mind. And I'm not saying that braggingly. I have a very, very fast mind. I was a radar air traffic control supervisor, and I would watch 11 scopes at the same time and watch people working. And so I would watch everything they would do, and I would put everything together. So my mind works very, very fast, so it's very hard for me to shut it off. But I also have a heart. And so in the metaphysical world or in my spiritual life, what I'm trying to learn is to shut this down, to move out of judgment and into discernment. Because when I stop judging and I start using discernment, that gives me knowledge. I start to understand better where you're coming from and where my heart is coming from, rather than judging you or myself or my meditation or my kundalini or any one of a number of things. And when I can move from judgment to discernment, and now I have knowledge, I can wisely do something with that. And hopefully that will be a loving action. And I want to say selfishly, and not selfishly, because I think it's a natural law, I can treat myself with love. Because I need to love myself really deeply. Because I am divine. I am an aspect of God. I am the natural medium. And I don't mean from giving a message. I mean, I am the person that if God wants to help heal you, and I'm in your life, I'm the medium. He's going to use my love to love you in order to meet your needs. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So they throw us in a room, you go through these evaluations, and you know, you get a little interview, and they kind of like split you up. And we were going to work with one tutor in a room of 12 people. And you know, for the most part, that's would be our home base group for the week. And then we interact. God bless you.
I need it.
And we would interact with other, you know, classes and this and that. And so the first thing is, like, when you walk into a room and, like, people are there from all over the world. And, you know, so you're, you know, we're all human. So we're all checking each other out. Oh, yeah. I think I could work with her. You gotta stay away from that one. Don't like the way that one looks over there. That one's a little intimidating over there. It's like, I don't know about that one over there. That's just normal. And, you know, and let's face it, everybody walks into this environment is quite intuitive. You know, you wouldn't fly from all over the world, lock yourself in a castle isolated in the countryside with a bunch of zanies. They're all reading you as much as you're reading them. I mean, while the scanners are out, the x-rays are up and down, and everybody's like, okay, what's in your game? And so the instructor comes in, and we're going to do this right now with each other. I'm going to pair you off. And you're going to give each other an intimate, deep message. And your message must last 10 minutes. So look around. Get ready to find a partner. Well, yeah, you're going to work.
10 minutes.
Right now. Right now, you're going to be able to... You see the vibe? How the vibe changed all of a sudden? You all went like this. Everybody in the room went... Oh, my God. I'm really going to have to do this. Is this joking? Is this going to happen right now? That's what happened to us, right? So he says, okay, no, we're not going to do this. Everybody breathe. And everybody breathed in a room. just like you did. Like, okay. So what the very first thing in order to get in our heart space was that they had to take out the elephant. You know, they had to acknowledge the elephant in the room. We all have jitters. We all flew from all parts of the world. And now we want to make you comfortable. So let's laugh. Ha, 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 ha. That was funny, wasn't it? But think about it. Why did you come from all over the world? You came to work. You came to learn, right? But the whole point was is that you came to get in your heart space. So I just brought you into your head space. I brought you into your fear space. I brought you into what you dreaded, although you signed up for this. I acknowledged it, and now we can breathe. We can breathe, and then they went through a nice, you know, our tutor was very kind. He went through a nice little chat with us, and what he said is, I want to pair you up in twos now, and I really want you to put yourself in this position. Find somebody you don't know, which is obviously everybody, and I want you to look them in the eye. And you're going to tell them for 10 minutes straight without stopping what you love about yourself. You're going to talk about yourself. And your time starts now. And everybody, you know, like, 10 minutes? I'm going to talk about why I love myself for 10 minutes. And everybody starts kind of hiding. I love myself because of the and it goes. And then in a few seconds, you find yourself breathing a little bit more. You feel yourself calming down. And suddenly the room starts getting quieter and people start leaning in towards each other a little bit more and more and more. And what you find is then very quickly with the stranger, you start getting calmer in your heart. Pretty good psychology, isn't it? It's very good guidance, is what it is. So if you want to think about what you are seeking is seeking you, if you're seeking love, if you're seeking to be the medium, if you're seeking to be healing, then the first step is to acknowledge the elephants in the room. And then maybe the next step is to start loving yourself and expressing that love of yourself in such a genuine manner that you forget the words you're saying and you become your story. Very nice. And the room calms down. Boom, okay, time. Now, let us into like a few minute meditation. And the whole room, can you feel it in here? The room just settled down a little bit like this, right? So you're all reading each other, but more importantly, you're moving into your heart space, right? And so then what I end up doing is a nice little meditation, a meditative prayer, because now they moved us. And during that, they say, put your hand on your heart and take a couple breaths in. And then the mind is quiet now. Let the mind drop into your heart. And they wanted you to physically feel your heart. First time I've ever done that. I have felt my heartbeat before, but I have never felt the chambers of my heart before. And I was in a calm space, and I can actually hear, foom-sh, foom-sh, foom-sh. It was really cool. It was really cool. Now for the next X amount of minutes, when you're ready, we want you to start telling your partner about your love. And we don't want to define that, and we don't want to tell you when to stop. And you know, by that point, when we started telling our partners about our love, we had moved into our soul space. That's my first group exercise of 6 days of working at this level with these people. It had nothing to do, the initial part of it, with giving a message. Zero. It had nothing to do with contacting somebody from the dead or the alive on the other side. It had nothing to do with judgment. Had absolutely nothing to do with performance or evaluation. It had everything to do with what are you seeking inside is seeking you. And that's a meeting of the divine within your own heart space. Doesn't that sound like a really cool experience? It really, really was a cool experience. And so, because of that, our group really bonded strongly. I have to say, it was the best group I've ever worked with. There wasn't an ego in the room. Throughout the course of the week, as we were called to do unbelievable, incredible things, levitation, glowing, we had a glow at one point. I believe I had a deep inversion and ride a magic carpet. I may not have done all those things physically, but I did them all in my heart. Because at that point, it was truly about becoming one with the divine. It was truly about being your authentic self and eliminating the judgments and not being afraid to make a mistake. It really, for the first time, I really felt like it really doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong, but I just know that I'm in the right space. So I want to give you I met really incredible people, but I want to tell you a story of this one lady that I met, left a mark. Her name was Anna Paolo. Anna Paolo is 80 years old. She's from Milan. And in Italy, if you're traditional and old school, when you lose a spouse, you tend to dress in the traditional black for long periods of time. Could go on for years. I don't know how many years. So Anna Paolo was very cute. Didn't have a wrinkle on her face. I don't know what kind of face cream she was using, but I got it right. It's amazing. She had snow white hair, all in black. And so I had to do a reading for Anna Paolo. You know, and her English is okay. And so we sat knee to knee, and we have to start, and very progressive what we had to do. Sit there, tell her what I'm feeling, and then let that guide. And then wherever it goes, it goes. And so with Anna Paola, I was able to get her spaghetti sauce and her cooking and her love for fresh herbs and vegetables and the draperies in her kitchen and where her husband used to sit and the window light that came in and how much he missed sitting in the kitchen with her and having a cappuccino and talking. And the tears started pouring. Anna Paolo had to really heal me. But we both started crying. And this 80-year-old woman just got up, and I just held her. And I told her, he wants to give you this word, cariño. Do you know the word cariño? And she says, yes, that's an amazing word. Because it's a Spanish word that doesn't translate well into English or Italian, but it's special in and of itself. In the Latin language, cariño, which is a form of love or deep affection. And she goes, he would know that because I've been studying Spanish for the last couple of years. At 80 years old, I've decided to go to school to learn a different language. I said, wow. You're 80 years old. You lost your husband a few years ago. You're studying a foreign language. You're traveling to England because she had just been introduced to mediumship and spirituality in the last couple of years. All of this was brand new to her. So later on, as time goes on and we discover more about each other, Anna Paolo is an amazing person. She was called to give an inspirational talk, and she stands there so regally. It turns out she was a university professor at one point, and she decides to give a poem by William Blake about the bloom on the rose. And in Italian, she gives it, and in English, and about how the love is lost and the bloom fades off, but it's, you know, the whole thing about loving and losing and gaining and maintaining. Yeah, it's like, but she's so regal. She stood in front of all these people, 80 years old, dressed in black. And she just, it was like she was talking to God. The poise was just so tremendous and so wonderful. But there's a other side to Ana Paula. She's decided the last 3 years to study healing. She's going to a healing college and learning healing. She's studying Spanish. Turns out she's been to Vancouver to study mediumship and somewhere else in Canada. She's been to Ireland. All in the last like 3 years to do this. 80 years old. And saying, I'm not... Her daughter is a PhD scientist with a graduate degree from MIT. Her son is some bigwig. This woman is out there saying, I'm only 80. What am I going to do with my life? I need to get plugged in. She took pole dancing classes. I'm not kidding you. Because she says, I need to get stronger. So she went to a pole dance class at 80. And she wears high heels. And she goes, Bill, I get on the pole. I hold the pole. But my calves are way up here because of my high heels. And then I just do this. And then I pull myself. And my arms are getting strong. My legs and my butt. Oh. And I'm like, 80 years old. And she is living her life. And there was other little adventures that this is, you know, we have young kids in the class that I can't tell you about that she's. And I look at it and I go like, wow. Here's a woman that's living her spirituality. She has suffered her losses like we have all lost. She has done amazing discoveries and is saying, what's next? What I am seeking is out there seeking me. And it really reminds me of my basic, you know, I came out of the Christian faith a long time ago. And it really reminds me that it's so true that the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's not out there somewhere. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The door of your heart. Anybody opens it up, I'll come in and dine with you. The spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it comes from or where it's going. But you trust it and you ride it. And you know, a lot of times because there are people, we tend to get hung up in our toys, in our gifts that we can do. But we have to really follow the giver of the gifts rather than be enthralled with the gift as much. Because then you really step into the format of who the natural medium is. And I would say that if you look at the life of Jesus, he used a lot of tricks too. To show his power. You know, one of the ones that I really like is when it was tax time, he told one of his guys, go down, catch a fish, open his mouth. And inside the mouth, you're going to find 2 denarii. That's our tax. You go pay for you and you go pay for me. What? He used water and turned it into wine. He fed people with fish. I mean, thousands with a loaf of bread. You know, he said, take the rock away. That guy's going to get up and walk. He restored sight. He's transfigured. He rose from the dead. He prophesied. I mean, if you want to talk about a person who used spiritual gifts, but he used them at the appropriate time, in the appropriate way, because it says, I can do all these things because I know that I am in my Father's will. I am completely 100% connected to my spirit. I am 100% man and 100% spirit. And he says, I don't do this so that you make me a god. I do this to show you I'm no different from you. Whatever I can do, you can do and much more. It's really simple. is really, really simple. And so I'm really glad that I had this time to drop into my heart space, experience real cool people, and I'm really honored that I could come in here and just share sort of just like one of my exercises from my experience over a week. And I pray in my heart that whatever you're seeking truly from your soul space, you'll find it. And I hope that that's love. I hope that that is truly healing, because that's what we're here for, to remember who we truly are. I hope that you become the natural medium, not from the point of view of giving a message, because I could care less if you ever give me a message, but I really care that you love me and that you love each other. And when you do that, all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you.